Good morning, brothers and sisters. I bless you. Jesus Christ, we come here. Amen. Let's stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning. I'll ask Brother Kennedy if he could lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Every morning. Lord, we thank you for your great faithfulness towards us. Yes. Lord, we thank you for keeping us. Yes. Lord, we look to your word this morning, O God. We pray you would commune with us, O Heavenly Father. Yes. Lord Jesus, we pray for your servants this morning, O God.
Yes.
May you help them to step aside, O God. Lord, we know when any man gets before a crowd, there are many things on his mind, O God. But, O Father, we pray this morning that your word would come forth, O God, and bless each and every soul, O God, from the youngest child to the eldest adult. Bless all that's said and done as we come it all into your hands in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn, if we would, to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, starting with verse 14, Luke chapter 16, starting with verse 14. Amen. Praise the Lord. Forgive my voice. Might be a little bit tough to hear me, so trust that the Lord will help us this morning. Verse 14, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him, and said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. So we're going to continue the lesson, if we could, this morning on fulfilling the commission. Hope this voice is not bothering you. And again, we'll ask for God's help this morning. But focusing on the scripture, it says the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it. So we're talking about fulfilling the commission because, you know, there's a lot of things that are written in the scriptures and in the message of the hour that are applied to us, but we really haven't weighed the gravity of it or how heavy it is or the urgency of it. And sometimes we take things for granted that are in the scriptures or the message and say that is part of the word and that is true, but how does that become real in your life? You know what I mean? Because if the Bible says we should be this, we should be that, if Brother Branham told us we should be this and we should be that, then why isn't that happening? You know? And we should ask ourselves, you know, why isn't it happening? You know, Gideon in the Bible, you remember Gideon and how he was a man that came from a small home and there was nothing good about him as far as the world's eyes were concerned. But God had called him to something. God had called him to deliver the people of Israel out of the situation that they were in. And so, you know, Gideon said, you know, if God be God, where's the God of miracles that I read about in the scriptures? You know, the God that parted the Red Sea, that did all these things in Egypt, where is that God, right? And so I would say to you, we should ask ourselves that question. If, you know, God is a God of supernatural, he's a God that can do many things incredible, beyond incredible, right? And so we should not settle for this, but we should accept the fullness of what God has in store. If God could part the Red Sea, he could do the same thing today, right? If he did miracles back then he can do them today. If he did miracles back then when Brother Branham was here, he could do the same thing today. And so we ought not to be settled with just going to church. We should not be just settled for being a good person. But there's something more to that, and there's a reality in that. And so if we really love God and the scriptures that are written therein, then we should ask ourselves, then where is the God of Elijah? Right. And that's what Elisha did. Remember, Elijah, he went on the chariot, and then he was taken up, and then he threw his mantle down, and Elisha received it. And you know, Elisha represented you and I. And so the same power that Elijah had was for Elisha. Thank you, sir. And so, but the key thing was that he had to focus his attention on Elijah, right? And Elijah represented the word of the hour because he was the word made flesh for that hour. Do you understand? So this is a printed book, right? When somebody begins to live that word, that is a word becoming life, and that is light, as the Bible says. You know, we are to walk in a light. And so this by itself is seed form, right? It's something like a seed that you throw in the ground. It doesn't have any life in it. It potentially does, but it doesn't have any life. You don't see anything about it. But when the light strikes it, the water sees it, then there's life there that's produced, right? And so you and I without God are a dead person. But when the light strikes it, then you become a living word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so this Bible does not do any good unless it becomes living. It's got to be life. And so when that life produces itself, it is light in this day. Do you understand? When Jesus Christ was on this earth, he was light. The Pharisees, they weren't producing light. Although they had this, they did not have the understanding of the revelation. The light did not strike. There was no seed there. There was no life that could be produced. And so we must be producing that light through the manifestation of the Word of God becoming flesh. So the things that you read in this Bible, they need to become a reality in your life. And, you know, in every step that you take, and you can see the same things that Jesus did, you're doing. You know, the same way that Jesus behaved and treated others, that's what should be coming through your life. You know, the way that he prayed should be coming through our life. And so when he said, where is the God of Elijah? He grabbed a hold of the mantle that Elijah had, and he took it, representing the Holy Ghost. And so you and I must have that Holy Ghost in order for that life to again come on. You understand? Because the scripture says, the works that I do, Jesus said, the works that I do, you're going to do also, right? So you take that life, and then you don't settle for it, but you be like Elijah and says, where is that God? And he smote the ground, and the waters parted, right? So we're looking at this, and so when we read these things in the message, in the scriptures, then we say, why isn't that happening to me? And God, I need that in my life. And we need to have urgency of it. Now I'm going to go through the message a little bit called Desperations. Because I feel that this age that we live in causes us to be too relaxed, too complacent, too lukewarm. And so that's what the devil exactly wants to do with you and I. We had a great camp meeting, you know. We had a wonderful time, you know. And God struck the hearts of our young people in a miraculous way where, you know, it wasn't just a few of them that caught it, but I believe all of them, it seemed like, caught it. And there was life, and they were excited. They seemed to have a zeal and a love for the Lord, you know. Then you know, I have not seen before. And they just came to the Lord, and you know, and that's what God wants from us, that zeal, that that earnest desire in our hearts, right? That fire. And so something was ignited there, right? But you see, the devil wants to do this. He wants to take that life that you have and then kind of dampen it down. So if he can't get you to disbelieve God, then he's going to get you to be lukewarm. You understand what I'm saying? So he's going to try to get you to be a church member. But we've got to see his devices. And, you know, if you all can listen to that message that Brother Burley preached, because he was really going through how the devil wormed his way from Pentecost all the way down, because, you know, they had a fire. The Holy Ghost was there. You know, the church was in revival, right, in the book of Acts. But then Satan used his schemes to worm his way through to make the church powerless. And so the purpose of the seals was to show what the devil was doing, and so that he could be powerless before us. Do you understand? And so we could see the wiles and the different angles. But one of the things he's trying to do is make us to be religious. And you know that scripture talking about the unclean spirits, they go from a man, right? And that just represents in many ways when you come to the Lord, you see God, that he's real. And then you come to the altar and then you pray and you know, you feel like you're delivered, right? And you're crying and different things, and you accepted Jesus Christ, and you know, and then you start to move on in your life. But he says if you don't feel that, then something else is going to come in. Amen. Worse, right? And so, you know, you maybe got off these lust spirits and, you know, whatever they may be, tobacco, pornography, you know, whatever worldly things that were on you before. And then you come to him and you get cleaned out. And then, but see, the devil wants to put something in there, right? And so one of those things is a religious spirit. Do you understand? Brother Branham said the worst spirit that you can have is a religious spirit. Why? Because it's very stubborn and it can take you to hell and you think you're saved, but you're not. And that's why it's so important that you receive the living God in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You must have it, because otherwise you'll become a church member. And he said the condition of that person was worse than the first. So you could have been in sin and everything like that. And it's a terrible condition, but the worst condition is a religious person. And so there's many people sitting in a message church and pew that have a religious spirit. And they must be freed from that, because it'll send them to hell, sure as anything. And so the thing of it is we've got to listen to the Word of God and the prophet of what he's instructed us in order to get away from this, right? And so we must have desperation. We must have urgency. So in the message, he brings up Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and the 10th verse. So let's turn to that scripture if we would. Jeremiah chapter 29. Starting with verse 10. And the scripture reads, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to turn to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you the accepted end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart." So remember, he says in Luke, he says the kingdom of God is pressed into. You know, it's not, you don't lay back and the kingdom of God falls into your, it doesn't say kingdom of God falls into your lap. It says you press into it. And he says this, so he says, "You shall seek me and find me when you search with me with all of your heart." And so everything that's in you needs to go after God. "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all the places where I have drove you, saith the Lord, and will bring you again unto the place which I caused you to be carried away captive. Amen. And Brother Brand makes this comment back to Pentecost. And so he says something profound. He says, seek me with all of your heart, and then I will be found. So he's looking for something, all of you, right? And so if you're complacent, if you're lulled about in laziness of this Laodicean spirit, then you're halfway Christian. But he wants you to be all the way, right? But he doesn't want you to be deceived, because the devil's going to try to deceive you into thinking that you're fine. You're in the message. You go to church here. You know, Brother Mike's your pastor. You know, all these different things to make you feel like I am just fine and I'm going in the bride. Because he'll get you to be deceived in your mind. But you must give him all your heart and you will be found. Now, you see the urgency of the time, because the Israelites, they had a scripture. They had a prophecy that said, you're going to leave this place, right? And they read it, and they knew it was going to happen. And so when they saw it, then there were some that says, well, we don't know when God's going to come. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. And because their actions showed it, right? It's not what you say, it's your actions that shows what you believe. And so, but there were some that says, he is returning back, and we're going to be released out of captivity. What's next? And they put an urgency on their heart. Lord, what should we do? You know, what's going to happen next? Is the Messiah going to come, right? Are we prepared for the Messiah to come? And so we have a time that is coming called the rapture, right? Where God's going to take up his bride. And so the question I have for you and I is, are you ready for the rapture? Are we earnestly seeking in the scriptures and the message of the hour what we should be doing to prepare? You know, it's not about just long hair and skirts and different things like that. There is much more to that. There is a heart's condition that goes along with that. You know, we must obviously have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it's the Holy Ghost has to take full control of our life, right? Now he talks about the time when the Israelites were going to leave Egypt, right? And it was a time of urgency. Why was it a time of urgency? Because judgment was going to strike the land, right? And so the Israelites knew that they were a people of God. You know, just like you and I know that we are a people of God. But you see, God has instructions in order to fulfill certain parts of his word and for that period of time to go in the Exodus. And so even though they listened to Moses' message, the prophet of the age, right? Even though they followed that same pillar of fire that Moses followed, even though they enjoyed all the miracles and all the blessings, because remember, there was light in Goshen. They did not receive all the plagues, right? But still there was a pinnacle moment in where they must have the token, right? And so there was urgency, because if they did not have it, then judgment would strike their house, right? And so the same thing that Brother Branham told us, if we don't have that, then judgment will strike us. And so remember, we must have the token in order to go in a rapture, right? And so he talks about this time in a drama, because in somebody's house, you know, they killed the lamb. You know, then they were eating the lamb, and they had to put the blood on the door. And so, you know, the little boy is asking, Dad, did we do everything right? You know, is the judgment going to strike us? And he says, we've done all the prophets showed us to do. You know, we killed the lamb, we're eating the lamb, we shed the blood. We did exactly what he told us to do. And so, but they were on their feet, they're on their toes, because they were not sure exactly, because they, you know, that's how we ought to be, right? Are we ready? Did we do God's will? Do we do everything that we are supposed to do, right? We should check our life and say, maybe there's something missing. You know, that's humbleness when we're saying that maybe there's something that I might have missed. Lord, show it to me. Amen. You know, if we have the wrong spirit, then we go, you know, we like to say I'm one of them, and it's good to sing I'm one of them, but you've got to be 100% sure that you're one of them. Amen. But you know, a humble person's going to say that, you know, maybe I'm missing that or that. Not just laying back and saying, oh, of course I'm going. I'm bragging, you know, and brags about it. You know, that's a different type of attitude. And so judgment was going to strike. And so the token had to be applied and the token had to be displayed. And so it's not enough to just believe in the Holy Ghost. It's not enough to just believe these things, the message of the hour and the prophet and different things, but the life of Jesus Christ must be on display. So that means you have to have it inside of you. And if you don't, then there's got to be an urgency there. You see, the devil's going to talk you into being deceived and saying, you go to church, that's good. You go to a message church, you have a good pastor, all these different things. He's going to try to deceive you, but you've got to have that urgency. Now he says this. Now we're going to talk on desperations for a few minutes now. Usually it takes a state of emergency to throw us into desperation. See, it's too bad it has to be that way. But human beings are so slothful in their mind. You've got to understand that your mind is slothful. Slothful means lazy. You don't want to do more than you have to do, right? And so you're going to reason away why you don't have to do something. You see that with children, you know, when they're growing up, they reason why they don't have to sweep the floor or clean their room or different things like that. And the human mind wants to say, I don't have to do that because of this. But you've got to understand that right away. Now something arises, and when they do, then it throws them into desperation. And really, in doing that in desperation, brings out that real thing that you are. It shows what you're made of in the time of desperation. So to bring another scripture to your mind, because everything is laid out in the scriptures. So you look at Matthew chapter 25, talking about the virgins. Remember, they were all sleeping. That's not a good state to be in, right? Because the scripture says we must be sober. That means awake, ready. And so they were sleeping. But then there was a voice came, a midnight cry that tried to wake them up, right? And you know, some ways you can look at it and you can say that was a message of the hour. When I heard the message of the hour, I knew that I had to wake up, right? But you see, you know, there was a wise that had the Holy Ghost and some did not, right? But you see, in order for them to meet the bride, they had to have their lights lit so they could see the pathway to get to the bridegroom, right? But one of the things they had to do is they had to have their lamps trimmed. If they didn't, they would lose that light, right? And so that midnight cry kind of woke them up, but they had to be ready, and so they had to trim their lamps. And so you and I must be ready. Now, he says this, in time of death, I've heard people, when they know they were dying, the things that they kept secret all their life, they, in desperation, they were trying to confess it, see, and trying, take this and make it right, go, please, go do, see, in desperation. They ought to have done that beforehand, see, not wait till the time of emergency. The emergency causes desperation when we ought to do it without the emergency. Now, now he's talking about the token, which I was mentioning here. Now, what he says about that time of the token in the book of Exodus during the Passover time, it says it was a shaking time. Amen. It was a time where every man was examining himself because the word of the prophet had not failed one time. Has the prophet of God that was sent to this age failed one time when he said, thus saith the Lord? And so when he says that we need to be this way and these things are coming, if we don't do that, then that ought to throw us into desperation, because everything that this prophet said, thus saith the Lord, has come to pass. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. It had proven to be true. Whatever he said, it happened just exactly the way he said it. The pillar of fire was still there. And then the prophet had announced that God would only pass over when he saw the token at the door, and it was a desperation. And he talks about how, you know, the kid would say, "Daddy, are you sure that we're under that token?" And he could go to the door, look upon the post, the lintel, and said, "Son, that's according to his word. Remember, I'm your oldest child. Daddy, are you positive?" "I am positive. That's according to what the prophet told us, and he has the word of the Lord. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That was thus saith the Lord." And so then he goes on to say, "Now I believe that we're living in the days that, otherwise the days that we're living in should cause the church to go completely into desperation. I believe since the message this morning from God," now that was the token message, "not me, I believe it ought to throw the entire congregation into desperation. That we have played long enough. We went to church long enough. We got to do something. Now, we went, as we talked about, we had a wonderful meeting this weekend, you know, the last few days, and God moved in such a miraculous way, and perhaps, you know, Brother Mike might talk about some of the testimonies that happened during that, but God moved in a supernatural way in different events and through the services and different things. But you know what the devil wants is to say that we had such a great time and just to rest everything on that experience. Instead of saying that, you know, I'm glad that God did that, but I know there's much more for God, from God. Do you understand? And for us to constantly be seeking, because remember that the Bible talks about how our soul should not be satisfied until the kingdom of God comes. Amen. The kingdom of God must come. And so he says, all nature is groaning and travailing until that takes place. And so that he says the sons and daughters of God, that's occurring in their hearts, that they're groaning. They're upset. They're sighing. They're crying. They're like, "Oh God, what's happening? Look at all the things around us. God, come down. You know, why am I like this? God, help me. You know, why isn't my heart this way? God, help me." Right? And so it's travailing. The nature's travailing. You see that going on right now. You see earthquakes. You see disasters in different places. Is because everything, the sons of God in nature, they're in harmony, they're groaning. But you know, when you're groaning and you're pain and you're going through birth pains, there's going to be a birth, right? And you know, there's going to be a second coming of Christ. There's going to be a manifestation of Jesus Christ in the fullness on this earth. And so that's our heart's desire, that we see that God moves in us and has his way so that he can be expressed. So he says now, he says, "How is it that we can see other great signs and wonders done on others? And what about us? It should cause an estate of desperation that we are determined before God. The signs of his coming should bring this entire congregation that we've read it from the word. The Holy Spirit has told us, go at a certain place, such and such a thing will happen." Not tell us what it was, but it would happen. We go there. It happens that way. The newspapers pack it. The magazines pack it. Show the picture of it. Come back here and see those great mysteries hidden in the Bible open to us on a new field that we never knew before, and perfectly blends to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Then at the end of the messages, see the actions of the great Holy Spirit. See him come down visible before people, even taking pictures of it. It's undeniable. What has taken place in this generation? It's undeniable. It's being recorded. It's eyewitness. All these different things. You cannot get away from it. So it's either accepted or rejected. He says, those people had seen the hand of God that night at the communion. They took it with in desperation because they know that something was fixing to happen. And we know something is fixing to happen. Remember, the coming of the Lord will be a sudden secret going away. He'll come and take her like a thief in the night. And to think that if somebody, all of a sudden, there is members of our family gone and you're left behind, it should throw us into desperation. that by the grace of God will not be left back behind. If there's anything I don't want, don't leave me, Lord. And if you have an assurance that God has given you something, then what about your family? What about your loved ones? That should throw you into desperation for them. Because you love them and you don't want to see them lost, you don't want to see them go to hell. He said on the Lamb's Book of Life, I want my name, I want him to remember me when the roll call. And it throws me into desperation. Like Paul said, after I preach the gospel, shall I be a stowaway? Shall I be a cast off? It could happen. So it throws me into desperate stage, desperation, to think of, after all these years of preaching, I could come to a place where I could fail him. What's the next move? What must I do next? And so we've got to be asking ourselves those questions. And throws me into a nervous stage. And what can I do? It throws me to the mountains and to the valleys. It throws him, why does he say mountains and valleys? Because he goes into prayer. Because he's saying, Lord, help me. I don't believe I'm where I need to be. You know, I'm missing something. Lord, help me. And it's hard because when I'm with the people, I've got to be all things to all men that I might win some to Christ. Yet with that token always before me. Now he says this, if you just bear with me here for a second. He says this, desperation. When the wife was about to die with cancer, he knew that God could heal her. And if God could heal the wife, God could heal the boy. And it throws it into a state of desperation, see? You must come. And when you're desperate, then God is going to listen to you. So, you know, when we're desperate, then we become very, very sincere, right? And, you know, we're very true because life and death is on the line. And we know that when a loved one, life and death is on the line, then we get into that desperation. But how much more so, not the physical life, but the spiritual life of a soul, right? Because God said, or Brother Branham talks about how one soul is worth 10,000 worlds. And so each soul is so important in his eyes that he says it's the most important thing in the things that we do is to save lost souls. You know, that is the name of Jesus. Savior. That was the name of Joshua, was Savior. Deliverer. And so the Bible talks about Jesus came to save that which was lost. If you look at the seals, it was a book of redemption to save that which was lost. And so the whole plan, the whole seals, the whole scriptures was a plan of redemption to bring that which was lost back to Jesus Christ. And so that same spirit ought to be in us, that we have a strong desire for souls to be saved. You know, that should throw us into, you know, my loved one here, you know, the family members over there, you know, the co-workers over here, sin, all this, you know, and if we have a hard heart that we are unconcerned, that's a problem. Because that was not the spirit of Jesus Christ. Now he says here, he says, I believe that the reason we don't have desperation is because it's a lack of love. God, the love of God. I think that the love of God causes desperation. If God is in you, the token inside of you, and you see the conditions of times and people waiting in sin the way they are, it'll throw you into desperation. I believe it will. And so, you know, we've got to have more of God inside of us. You know, even if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need more of the Holy Ghost. You know, because we can have the Holy Ghost and still, you know, we are not very powerful. When I say powerful, that God's work is not flowing through us. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, Brother Bram says, you have everything. When you have the Holy Ghost, you have everything in you to even create a world and to transform this world. Do you know that? It's not like I need more Holy Ghost to do that. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have that. But now he talks about you must have the faith to tap into that power. Do you understand? So in the message, he says, you know, we have the power, but not the faith to move the power. Do you understand? And so where does faith come? It comes from God. It comes from the love of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, love and is a, you have faith when you have love. You know, you talk about your relationship with your wife. You have faith in what she's going to say. You know, she says, I love you and I'll do this for you. You believe it because there's a love connection there. And so you believe God's word because he's demonstrated over and over that he loves you, right? And so we've got to have more of love, and then we're going to have that desperation. You see, in the message, he says the condition that we as believers, in order to go out in the rapture, has to be that our hearts are so concerned for others and their salvation that we are praying. We're sighing in our hearts. We're crying. And you know, Brother Bram doesn't make distinction and says, like, well, you're not an emotional, I'm not an emotional guy, I don't cry. He said, cry. Amen. He didn't just say those people that have a tendency to cry. He said, sigh and cry. Amen. Sigh and cry for the abominations done in the city, the sin in the world. And he said, you know, they can't sleep because it's bothering them so much. How many of us are in that condition? I'm not fully in that condition. Are you? And so that's the condition that we must be in order for the rapture. And I don't want us to just, you know, say that, well, you know, he's just being over the top. That's written in the message of the hour, right? And so we cannot just argue away these things or, you know, explain away these things. They're written right there. But if we have a desire to follow the will of God, I believe if we pray earnestly, we'll receive it. But it's got to be, you know, I'm short on this. This is not where I'm at. Lord, I need help. Lord Jesus, the rapture is coming. You know, I need to get desperate, Lord Jesus. I'm not desperate enough. I don't love others enough. Lord Jesus, help me, right? And I believe if you go with the earnest heart, with that desire, then that will increase. And then it will become manifest. But it's, the desire has got to be there. You see, that's what God wants. He wants to see desire in our hearts. And when we have a desire, then he's going to give us. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, the scripture talks about, I think Brother Burley was mentioning it, he says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thy heart. Right? And you know, you can look at it also, you know, because if we delight ourselves, then we love the Lord. We want to do everything we can for him, right? And he will actually put desires in our heart as well. You know, for the lost, or to do things, to serve God and whatever. You know, people get a burden on their heart because they have a desire in the heart to serve God. And so, but you don't know what to do with it, right? And so God then gives you a desire, a burden, to fulfill part of his will, right? And so God created you and I for a certain purpose to fulfill on this earth, right? But we don't know what that is many times. And so there's a gift in us. And sometimes we don't know exactly what that is, but as we walk, then it becomes developed. But then God puts a burden there for that gift to be manifest itself. But he gives us a desire to do that. Amen. I just feel the stop right there. Let's all stand. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I feel that we have been not where we need to be. Maybe sometimes lazy, sometimes complacent, slothful in our minds, oh Father. And Lord Jesus, I remember a message yesterday. The brother was talking about a young boy named Josiah. He was 8 years old when he was king, and you know, he accepted a lot of things because he didn't know what, you know, he didn't know any better because it's just the way it was. But when he read what was in the law and it showed that the things that were done were wrong, then he shook himself He rent his clothes and he said, we should not have been doing this. God, forgive us. And then he did his best to correct it and make it right, no matter what it cost. And so I believe there are things that are laying here in the scriptures, in the message, that you want the bride to know. Maybe she doesn't know exactly right now, but that's why you open the seals for us to know. And so that we could understand it and then let that word come in and then let that word become a part of us, and then we begin to live that word and take action, oh Father. Lord Jesus, I pray for each one of us, oh Lord, that we all come to that, oh Father, and not be deceived by the spirits of Laodicea that's trying to give us religion or make us complacent and all these different things, oh Father. Lord Jesus, but let us stay vigilant and sober, oh Lord Jesus, and cling that much closer to you in prayer, oh Father, and in the Word of God. Lord Jesus, bless the song service and the preaching, oh Lord Jesus. Lord, we want you to receive more and more glory. We thank you for all these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.